in the supreme and eternal abode. Darf ich nochmal? O Sign of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace in the supreme and eternal abode. Purport. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the supreme personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature as Tat Vishnu Paramang Padam. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Paramang Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvasya Chaham Riri Sanivishta. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. So, this recommendation that one should surrender unto the super soul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa. This verse is actually the second verse in a series of verses describing surrender to the super soul. In the verse before, the Lord has said, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrede Shojuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. This verse says that Krishna is there within every one of us and directing our movements. Previously, we have spoken about it, but I want to repeat it again for you. Say you do a simple movement like raising the hands. Well, it's not necessary to do it, but as an example, what is happening? Are you actually consciously aware of how the hand rises up? You desire actually that the hand may rise, but if it rises or not, it's not being engineered by you. Hridayananda Goswami once gave an interesting example which we might remember from our past. Remember when you came and put a coin into an automat, say a drink automat for soft drinks, cold drinks, like Fanta or an orange juice or so. You would put the coin inside, press a button of your desired drink, let us say an orange juice, and then a mechanism would set and go into movement. The automat would put a glass, a paper glass down, and then it would make boop, and then from an opening, or what is here, a pipe, some the juice put, be put into the glass. Now you were not consciously controlling all the movements in the automatism, right? You only had a desire. I want orange juice. And you pressed a certain button and put a coin inside, and the rest was taken care really by the automatism, not by you. In the same way, the living entity, since time immemorial, is in this material world, and it desires something, and the automatism of the material energy, and your body is part of it, is taking care that your desires are fulfilled. Not always, but sometimes. If you just think about this phenomena, like we will rise in a half an hour and go to take maybe a glass of milk to end the day, or read a little in the Krishna book, we will just start moving according, our body will start moving. Who's directing all this? Who's making the arrangement? Who's the engineer? Not you. You're the desirer. It's actually explained in the verse before. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaya sajuna tishtati. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. And he's doing it all. Krishna says, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Now, most of the time we are not aware of this. When you are moving, are you thinking of Krishna and as a super soul who is moving your body most of the time? Not, you are taking it for granted. All right, it will somehow happen. It will work. So, here in this verse, we find that we should surrender to that super soul to get to know him, to get in contact with him. I remember once a friend of our movement, George Harrison, he sang a song, I really want to see you. I really want to see you, but it takes so long, my Lord. You remember? I want to see you, but it takes so long, my Lord. It is possible to come in contact with Krishna. It's possible to see him. But it will take eternal times or less than a minute. Depends on you. You have to surrender to him. In the Bhagavatam, we find one great personality who surrendered in a moment to Krishna. And I think by hearing about him, we might get an idea how to follow his footsteps. Would you like to surrender to Krishna, by the way? Is this a point of interest? You're not afraid, Vrindavaneshwari? Little. Who likes to surrender to Krishna? Please raise your hand. Oh, really? This is very nice. Then I will speak about Katvanga Maharaj this evening. Are you prepared to surrender to Krishna first of all? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Let us hear about Katvanga Maharaj. Now, Khadvanga Maharaj, he fought on behalf of the demigods against the demons. And after the fight, he asked them, how long do I have still left to live? When will I die? And the demigods looked into his future and said, you have 1 minute more. He became very, very motivated. So used the minute. In the proper way. The demigods say, you can get everything you want in this 1 minute. Just ask for something. One more minute. Imagine we would be in the situation. 1 more minute. 1 more minute. For 45 seconds. 40 seconds. Seconds. 1 minute. We have made a theater play in Italy, which was very, very nice. It's about a man who goes to the doctor and hears from him, my dear sir, you have 7 more days to live. You have a cancer which spreads. So the devotees have made it like this. Here is a stage, and before the stage is a huge calendar. You see all these 2 naked hands, 2 naked arms from behind, just taking the one there. You know, it's 7th, then it's 6th, then it's 5th, so it goes down. So in that time, the man asks, what should be best done? He goes to a politician, to a sportsman, to a playboy, and gets different answers. Now, Khadvanga Maharaj, he says, I'm interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created everything in this material world. I'm more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in any material benedictions. And he says now, to give up my body in the short duration of time, I must prepare myself. Therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. This is the imaginary. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things, but one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Khadvanga, by his natural intelligence, gave up all other attachments, in other words. He gave up the false identification with the material body, which is full of ignorance. And in his original position as a servant of the Lord, he engaged himself in rendering service of the Lord. For him, that was memorizing the Lord, thinking of the Lord. So here we find a good explanation what to do. The reason why it is so difficult for us to surrender to the Lord our material attachments to our body, to our own plants within this body. But we should understand how temporary it is, this material body. We will lose it. With every heartbeat, our time is running out. We have a problem. We have to die. It's a big problem, if you think about it. We didn't come here to live. No one will escape. We are all here to die. So Katvanga Maharaj understood it because he had one more minute. It was told to him, or the man who came to the doctor, he had seven more days. Does this remind you of someone? Parikshit Maharaj, isn't it? Yeah. So we should sometime think about this. That now, while we are in good health, strong bodies, we should not be deceived. We should not take things so superficially. We should actually prepare by surrendering to Krishna. Now, it is of course not easy for everyone to surrender all at once. That's difficult. Because we are not pure enough. The heart is full of many things. But we can actually surrender to the Lord if we know the proper steps, how to do it. And today I want to talk about gradual steps for surrendering to Krishna. It really all starts with the first process of devotional service, and that is Shravanam, hearing about Krishna in his holy name. And the holy name is vibrated by our tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Then we have to listen. If a guest comes and you don't even care for him, that means you have no relationship to that person. Imagine a guest comes here in our Center for Vedic Studies and we don't give him a room, we don't give him prasad, we don't give him even a blink with the eye. What would that be? This ignoring him. In the same way, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if we want to surrender to Krishna, we have to surrender to listening, to hear this. Otherwise, we won't even start to establish a relationship with him. And the second process is, of course, Kirtanam, that we chant the holy name. When you do Kirtan together with the devotees, you should surrender to this process. When you are in the Kirtan, first you should fix yourself, I will give some Kirtan rules now, on Krishna. When you come into the temple room to do kirtan, you're doing it for someone who's listening very attentively. It's Krishna on the altar. Or Lord Gauranga and Gaunitai. You're coming there and they should be satisfied with your singing. Then you should dance for their pleasure. Stepping from left to right, raising the hands in the air, occasionally shouting Haribol, Haribol. It's very important to dance for the pleasure of Krishna. You're not moving around because everyone else is doing it, or because how do you look, or to train your muscles, or to impress the Matajis, or the male devotees. You're dancing actually for the pleasure of Krishna. Very important. Then, when you will feel something in your sritta, in your heart, some attraction to the Lord, let, you know, take conscious note, nimm das bewusst wahr, the attraction, and focus on the Lord more. This will bring you more to the lotus feet of Krishna. We should see if something is appearing in our heart, or is it just this stone. Even from stone something can appear. I heard oil comes from stone, from certain stones. So something will appear if you chant. Attraction to Krishna. It will automatically go to the Lord. Lord Prabhupada encouraged us. He said, when we started to chant the holy names, he said, and you will feel transcendental ecstasy by vibrating the holy name. At the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, we only had the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's all. We didn't even have nice dhotis or nice saris. We were so poor. We couldn't even afford hot water all the time. We had the holy name. We knew that's all we had. And we must develop an attraction for that. So, yes, this is the... Then, when you chant, there's something which you will not be able to have when you do your individual japa. It's that the chorus of the devotees. They're actually sincere devotees in the temple who are chanting with a real desire to come to Krishna. So we can hear that chorus and feel great elevation and transcendental ecstasy by hearing and joining the chorus. Something for the kirtan. And, you know, kirtan gives us all the opportunity, that's the next point, to really associate on the transcendental platform. Because in kirtan, all differences disappear. I may not agree with Gauranga on a certain point. It doesn't matter in kirtan. It is one is in the transcendental, one is transcendentally linked by the sound vibration of the holy name. We should consciously take note of these points in order to take the full benefit of the holy name. So that's kirt. That's so surrendering to the holy name in the form of japa and kirtan. And then smaranam. We should plan our process of surrender also by smaranam, remembering Krishna. Think of him during the day, during your service. Once a farmer, Narada Muni, came with Krishna. They walked over the fields, and Narada asked Krishna. Krishna asked Narada, "Do you want to know who's the best devotee?" Narada thought, "Yes, I'm sure. I'm very close to this, isn't it?" Ah, said Krishna, I have different devotees. They are sometimes very close to me. I said, Narada, very interesting. I'm very interested to know. So they were just passing over the fields, and there were some farmers. One farmer in particular chanted the holy name while he was working. So Narada Muni, so Krishna said, I will give you a little test. Here, take this pot of water and bring it up the mountain and bring it down the mountain. Narada Muni took the water and went up the mountain. And then he came back and Krishna asked him, what did you think about? I thought about the pot of water. It was a little heavy and how to carry it, and I didn't want to spill any water. So Krishna called the farmer, saying, hey farmer, what did you do? Well, I worked the field. Krishna was in disguise. The farmer couldn't see him. Only Narada Muni knew. And what did you think about? Said the farmer, Krishna. Oh, I thought about Krishna. I was singing his holy name. Said Krishna. And they moved on. See, Narada? This farmer was actually a bigger devotee than you. Because when you were busy, you were just thinking about pot consciousness. But when the farmer was busy, he thought even then of me. If you want to surrender to Krishna, you need to think of Krishna. How else will you surrender in every situation? It's not possible. So these are some practical steps towards surrender. Before we can give everything, let us start with our hearing. Let us continue with our voice. And let us engage our mind. See, when the doctor comes and you feel some... Did you ever notice you feel some fever? The doctor says, first looks in the ears. Everything is all right in the ears. Then he will look on the tongue. Ah! Is everything all right on the tongue? And he might even look, and then he will take his whatever it is to put it on the heart. If it bangs properly, bang, 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 or if it beats properly. So we want to analyze your status in devotional service. Start with your ear. Maybe you need to remove some blockage in the ear that you can hear properly. Then go to the tongue. Are you saying the right things? Are you kirtaning, singing properly the right thing? And then look at your slipper. Is it in the right beat? In other words, are you really thinking of Krishna? You can make the self-diagnosis, doesn't cost a penny. And you can improve very quickly your hearing about Krishna, your singing about Krishna, and the kirtan, and your misli about Krishna, your thinking about Krishna. If you surrender in these slow steps, big surrender, which will bring you to the lotus feet of the Lord, will be easily done. I want to end here. I hope you could draw some inspirations from this. Do you have any questions? Point. It is said we cannot approach some word you need, some translation to a word? What? Some gossip. Another question. Keep it. Control your mind. Your tongue. We were just speaking about it. Some gossip. Another question. Keep it. Control your mind. Your tongue. We were just speaking about it. Not past it. No, this is what I mean. Check. You have to check constantly. Otherwise, you won't become healthy, spiritually strong. So, how you said we cannot approach Krishna without the spiritual master. How to do this when we want to think of Krishna? Well, think what the spiritual master told you about Krishna. Some nice Krishna story, and so on. This is how it's very easy to think of Krishna, very potent. Have you ever known, just as a disciple of Prabhupada, when I hear how Srila Prabhupada talks about Krishna, I remember that. Today he was very strong. We heard a tape and he said, "You don't understand God." It was very heavy. "Why do you talk nonsense?" some Indian was. I didn't even understand the question. Speculating something. So, yes, therefore we hear from our spiritual master and then think. He did it, and he went back to Krishna. Yeah, Vanga Maharaj actually received the notice in 1 minute on the heavenly planets. I mean, in the Bhagavatam it says all what he thought and how he left the family. I think that moment was not like this, because how can you leave like this the family and then think a lot and sit somewhere and concentrate? It must have been a moment, you know, a very short amount of time. That's what is indicated by the word moment. Sometimes you say, "Moment, ich komme gleich." This moment can mean 1 minute or even 5 minutes. That's still "Moment, ich komme gleich." But it can also be mean very short. "Ich komme in diesem Moment," you can say, and this means. So, it must have been something like this. More, you can't. I know your question is how to understand it with the in relationship to demigod time and human time. I think it doesn't mean that. It means a very short time span in this connection. Benjamin, isn't it? Second nature, yeah. Yeah. Yes. This is a very nice question. When we want to surrender, there are many things like habits which seem to keep us from surrender. Srila Prabhupada told an interesting story of a thief, a habituated thief, who once went on a pilgrimage. Now, one early morning when everyone was resting, he felt the urge to go and open the bundles of the pilgrims and steal something from them. He just felt it very strongly. Habit, second nature, they say. Medyutam, when he was just opening the bundle, it dawned on him. I mean, he really understood, wait a minute, my habit is coming into my way. He realized, wait a minute, I'm going to steal something from these saintly persons. I cannot do this. But still the habit was just so strong that he felt he must do something. What he did is he just took the bundles and placed one here, the other there. In a chaotic way, he placed the bundles. You understand? He didn't open it and didn't steal anything, but he put this bundle here, that bundle there, just to engage himself. So when you see a habit coming, you have to see if you can engage that in Krishna's service. There may be some good habits. If you like to wake up early, then that can be easily engaged in Krishna's service. Or you may have a habit. You might be a certain person. Habit. What is a habit? You might always like to interrupt someone. That's sometimes a habit. Well, that habit you must most probably control. Well, and you can put it in Krishna's service by interrupting your mind when it thinks of Maya. Stop! Don't think like this. Think here, come here. And you have to sometimes do such tricks. Or many things, many bad habits can be overcome just by being busy for Krishna. We are so passionate people, we have so many bad people, habits. If we sit around, our umskis, our minds, will become the devil workshops. So just engage. Like the thief. I think he couldn't just keep his control and just sit. He had to do something with it, with this energy, you know, this restlessness. And he engaged it in Krishna's slujba, Krishna's service. And as a result, he became purified. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't believe to just suppress, but to engage Krishna's service. Not even for a moment the soul can remain inactive. But by engaging in Krishna's service, you can be purified. You're a good example. You're a very active person, I believe, isn't it, by nature? And before you used to do some glupas, I can imagine, with this active nature, like every condition. So now you're just running around in the temple and putting everything. So that's good. Yes. Also, Wilma's aus Bosnien ist genauso. Sorry. To be just engaged in Krishna service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wer sagt das? Well, most of the devotees, they reap the result, but they are not consciously aware, because they are not totally able to control their mind all the time. The mind controls them. But anyone, Prabhupada used to say, anyone who stays in Krishna consciousness, at the end of this life, he will go back home, back to Godhead. You may not be consciously aware, your mind might even sometimes cause difficulties in your regular advancement in Krishna consciousness. But if you just stay there, stay and do continue the service, your future is bright. It's guaranteed. Wonderful, isn't it? You can't believe it. Ja, du kannst es nicht glauben, so recht? There was a reason, Prahlad, I will tell you now a very amazing story. When his father, Hiranyakashipu, went into the desert to meditate and get this by his and perform austerities to get the power to rule the whole universe, the demigods became very afraid, and as a result came to Narada Muni and Parashara Muni and said, "Can't you help us? This demon is becoming so strong. He will come to the heavenly planets and chase us all away. Don't worry. His son will be very good," said Narada Muni. "And he will be, and when his father turns against his own son, he will be killed by the Lord." So then Narada Muni took the form of a bird. And Parashara Muni also. And they sat on the branch of the tree where Hiranyakashipu was standing, making his stragost. And they, austerities. And they chanted the mantra, "Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya." Hiranyakashipu, who's chanting this mantra? I'm trying here to concentrate. He looked at the tree and he saw these birds. Om Namo Narayanaya. He became very angry. "Stop this! Om Namo Narayanaya." Finally, he left everything. He went and got his bow and fixed it to the birds and shot it. Om Namo Narayanaya. Narada Muni and Parashara Muni flew away. And he was so agitated, having heard the mantra over and over and over again, that he couldn't perform his austerities any longer and went to his palace. All the people asked him, "What happened to you? You wanted to make austerities." He couldn't even talk. He was so agitated that finally he thought, my only chance is to actually, go to my wife. And So in the night, when he was together with his wife, he still remembered this Om Namo Narayanaya. So at the moment of conception, you understand? Conception. He chanted the mantra. It was in his mind. And whatever you think of at the time of, I mean, what the parents think of at the time of conception, that attracts a particular soul. So Prahlad Maharaj was attracted because his father, while conceiving him, chanted Om Namo Narayanaya. He had this thing in the mind. And therefore, he was... this is the reason why such a special son came. I hope our Grihasthas will remember this. What do you think about this story? I think Jürgen had heard it again already. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? What do you think? All right. For you, it's the first time where you hear it. It's wonderful, isn't it? Your parents didn't chant Om Namo Narayanaya. This is a problem. Would have been much better. Very good. But internally, what will change in your life? Next step. Remember the big surrender? That was for Kadvanga Maharaj. He could do it. But he was very intelligent. And from his childhood on, he is saying, I've never had any interest in playing. But we played like anything in the childhood. We were not always acting in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? So he had that good advantage, a Krishna conscious childhood. We don't have most of our devotees, at least. So let us prepare our way and steps. Let's go the safe way. Okay, so we will end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.